Welcome to Blah Blah Sports, a special WWE edition of Blah Blah Sports. I'm Benny. Alongside me, as always, my partner Sean. Sean, what's going on?
There's a lot of stuff going on, including Survivor Series, which we'll get to very soon.
Yes, but not before introducing our third member, Stone Cold Steve Coltis. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hell yeah, I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's dive right into it. So Survivor Series just goes down. Me and Sean, well, obviously all three of us watched it. Sean, me and you were together when we watched it. There was a lot of, like, it seemed like the buildup to this whole show was kind of forced. I don't know. It seems like they were lost after losing Seth Rollins.
Well, a lot of people were excited because, you know, you have Seth Rollins goes down and you have the tournament to crown the new champion. And we were thinking, oh, you know, maybe they'll put some surprises in there. Maybe they'll go outside the box. But no, it was pretty by the numbers. And the end result was exactly what we expected when the thing started.
Steve, is that kind of the same thing? You watched it. You watched it live, I presume, and you kind of saw everything go down. It was really kind of awkward. Like, the entire show was kind of awkward, wasn't it?
I completely agree with you both. I watched live with you guys. That's why I was texting you during. And man, the whole event to me just felt very, just like you said, just very forced and very just dragged along. There was no, for even the big matches. I mean, we'll get to later, like Taker and stuff like that. But everything just felt very, just very, very strange to me. I wasn't a very big fan of how it felt.
A lot of like half-heartedness. Again, I'm under the belief, and I'm from the school here, that I really do think they were lost when Seth Rollins went down.
I completely agree with that. I mean, Seth was just such a key point in the integral storylines, and he went down with such a terrible injury right in the middle of just, like, in the middle of nowhere. They completely fell flat on their face as far as I'm concerned.
So let's get into kind of, like, recapping the show. The pre-show match, Sean, you really had a good time watching that pre-show match. Your favorite wrestler makes a return.
Oh, no reason.
your favorite wrestler returns. Goldust comes back. Teams of the Dudleys, Neville, and Titus O'Neil. A weird team. They do the Survivor Series match on the pre-show. I thought it was weird mainly because there was no storyline here whatsoever.
Well, I mean, it was a Throne of Gear Survivor Series match, but it's for the nostalgia of the event. It's very harmless. Like it's just a fun tag match that they threw out there, regardless of the fact that, you know, they did they basically did the same exact match both on the pre-show and the actual show. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, Steve, were you kind of under the same? I mean, it was good to see Goldust back, but again, I felt like it was weird. This match didn't have any kind of build up to it. It was nice to see, you know, 5-on-5. And probably one of the better matches on the card.
I really enjoyed the pre-show match. Like you said, it was just a very strange assortment of wrestlers, but I really didn't have a problem with it. Shout out to my buddy Goldust. He's been one of my, like, undercard favorites for a long time. Not, like, a huge favorite, but I always like seeing him out there just to see him come back from his shoulder injury and get back out there and do what he does. It made me happy to see. And I don't know. His entrance was always one of my favorites, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and, you know, it was just a good mix of the undercard guys just having going out there and doing their thing.
And Sean, you popped out a good stat. Goldust has wrestled as long as The Undertaker.
Yes.
Yeah, he's deceptively not a young guy. But hey, he can still go. He can work just as well as anyone else.
Couple of notes from that match. It seems like the Dudleys really didn't have anything to do.
Yeah, why were they on the pre-show one and not the main card one? Like, are you telling me the Lucha Dragons needed to be in that match?
That was a weird combination. I guess, you know, the Lucha Dragons dressed like the Usos. I don't know what they're trying to do with that. I thought it was also weird Titus O'Neil came out by himself.
Well, you heard why, right?
What went down with that?
Well, he took the place of Cesaro. He was originally going to be in there, but Cesaro was actually hurt. He's having surgery today.
Okay. All right. So I guess that makes a little bit of sense. But, like, why? Like, there are other options outside of Cesaro they could have gone to put him in. I mean, you know, you use Bo Dallas. Wow, he looks really out of shape as well. But
no, the entire heel team was jobbers.
Yeah. I mean,
it's no surprise. It was three survivors against – it was four survivors.
Yeah, at one point it was 4-on-1, yes.
Yeah. Well,
again,
yeah.
It was just, to me, it was a little bit of an odd match, but you know what? It's a pre-show match. You guys both hinted at it. It's pretty harmless. Then they start the show. They pop out. I didn't know why they started the show with this match, but Sean, you kind of said they kind of should kind of start it like this.
Well, you
Roman
wanna,
Reigns
yeah.
and Del Rio. You kind of want to get it out of the way.
You want to get the two tournament matches first. That way you give each guy ample amount of time to rest and then come back for the main event.
Why start Reigns first? Why not go with the match? It's going to get more pop.
Well, I mean, it's the mentality of having a solid curtain jerker, and you need the you want to have at least some sort of big pop at the beginning of the show so that, you know, the crowd can get into it and, you know, everything else flows correctly. And I'm not saying that Reigns is going to get that big pop, but you definitely want something there in the beginning. And it's typical wrestling one-on-one to do so.
So, Steve, Reigns comes out, Del Rio comes out. They've kind of shelved the whole Swagger Del Rio thing. I don't really understand why, but it just seems to me like no matter what, when Reigns comes out, he's never going to get that positive reaction.
No, he is so he's becoming John Cena, not so to the severity, obviously, because it hasn't been as long, but the same force down our throats type action is being done with his character, as was John Cena, and the crowd and the WWE Universe is reacting in such a way. I want to like Roman Reigns. I honestly do. He's got a cool look. He's that big badass Samoan dude coming down through the crowd with the hard-hitting moveset. But it's just like the basis of the whole pay-per-view. He is so forced as a character, and on the mic, he just stumbles and fumbles and just doesn't flow. And something needs to be changed, but he sells merchandise to young kids. So
does
WWE
he, though?
Is not
does he sell merchandise?
Yeah, because we were talking about it, Sean. You're right.
I see a lot of Roman
you
Empire
see a lot
stuff.
You see a lot of merchandise, but that doesn't mean it's selling.
I suppose that's a good point, but I don't know. To me, it seemed like his merchandise was selling, and like he was a new kind of figure for the kids.
Last that I heard, the guy who was selling way more merchandise than you would think is Dean Ambrose.
Yes,
I could believe that.
He was selling a lot of merchandise, and I mean, do you know anyone who is buying a Roman Reigns T-shirt?
Mm-mm. Personally, no. I have no friends that would buy a Roman Reigns T-shirt.
And I felt the need to go out and buy a Rollins and Kevin Owens T-shirt because I actually like those two guys. I actually, you know, not and I, you know, again, pre 2014, not that big of a wrestling fan for a couple of years because I was disgusted with the way it was going. They buried CM Punk. Coming back into it, saw Seth Rollins, saw Kevin Owens, immediately got behind those guys because I could relate. I can't relate to a Roman Reigns. We can dive into that a later podcast. Anyway, next match, Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens. This could have been a match where they could have thrown a curveball at us. Now, we all kind of presumed going into this whole tournament thing they were going to do Reigns-Ambrose. I thought, in the back of my mind, maybe you put Owens over here, do Reigns-Owens, just to kind of give us a curveball and just to put Owens in a big match. I know the fans are clamming for Ambrose, but to give Owens even a little bit more heat and maybe set up Ambrose-Owens for,
yeah,
you know,
I
see.
I don't disagree with that. Clearly, that's not they were going in a different direction, especially with, you know, the backstage vignettes that they were doing even during the show between Ambrose and Reigns. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not like either guy was going to win because, you know, to do that, it's either one of them, more specifically, Ambrose would have had to turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a big, big mess towards the end. And it's probably better off that Ambrose did win and get Kevin Owens out of there so that, you know, he didn't have to deal with that.
But again, I'm going to go to you on this, Steve. I felt it was weird at the end to have, you know, because Reigns obviously wins, spoiler. Reigns wins, Ambrose wins, and we have that we have the best friends match. I thought it would make more sense to end it with a match that didn't kind of have that awkward, oh, they're friends vibe to it. I don't know. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
I would have really liked to see, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. That would have been a good match because those guys are heavy hitters, and I feel like their styles would complement each other. But everybody was, including the WWE, the backstage guys, they were clamoring to do that friend match because, I don't know, they just love to do stuff like that. They love to throw those.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
against each other thing.
Speaking of, you know, having a good match in that way, I just want to point out, you know, Cesaro Cesaro and Reigns had that match on Raw that was, you know, rave reviews. And I just
that was
point,
a barn burner.
Oh, I just want to point out Cesaro did that match with a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder.
Yes. Yeah, again, whenever Cesaro comes out, the WWE, and I know they're not going to, they have to seriously consider pushing.
So I just want to point out that he carried Reigns in that match with a torn rotator cuff. I just want to point that out.
Again, you can go, Steve.
I was just going to say, in that company right now, he is the only wrestler. He is not an entertainer, a sports entertainer, whatever you call it. He is a pro wrestler, and he does it better than anyone else in that company. I will comfortably say that. He puts it all out there every match, and he puts it all on the line, and he always just gives a good show to the fans no matter what. And the fact that he carried that awesome barn burner of a match with Roman Reigns with a torn rotator cuff is just shows the true content of his character, and all the props to that guy.
This is a guy that if he got any more over, it'd be hard to fathom him finding some way to get more over. The guy is about as over as you can be. Final thing I'm going to say about the Owens Ambrose match is maybe there would have been kind of that character backing for Reigns if you beat Owens versus beating Ambrose. Because again, to me, it was kind of awkward for Reigns to beat Ambrose, but there is a small population of the WWE that actually, you know, I would say not the smart fans that don't like Kevin Owens because of his size, the way he looks. Maybe if Reigns beats Owens, you start to hear a little bit of change in the crowd. That's just me. We'll go to the 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series match. You had Ryback, the Usos, the Lucha Dragons against the New Day, Sheamus and King Barrett. I didn't like the idea of putting Sheamus in this. I didn't even like the idea of burying Sheamus in this. But I, you know, again, another harmless 5-on-5.
I love the comedy with New Day, and even though I thought that the Sheamus portion of the promo was funny, especially considering they stopped the music after he said that, but this guy cashed in and won the title at the end of the night. Why is he doing this?
I didn't like the idea. You did the thing with the intro, and then you had him wrestle
and lose.
And lose and not even look strong. I think that was the worst part about it, Steve.
Yeah, completely. That was just the fact that he was even involved in that, and then to lose so bad, I was like, it's like, where is he going to go now? It's like he's already done crappy on this pay-per-view.
I think that's a spot where you could have put Stardust or The Miz, and then just had Sheamus kind of hang around. Again, the WWE has to start finding a way to utilize more of their roster. I know they don't have a lot of guys.
Here's an idea. Why doesn't he just win the match? Like why yeah, I mean, why do the baby faces need to go over with three survivors?
Especially three teams that are kind of they're in jobber status right now. Like Ryback, jobber, the Usos, no one really
Ryback,
likes. Lucha Dragons are fun to look at, but they're jobber status.
Are you telling me that Ryback or Kalisto is going to be pushed within the next month? I don't think so. The other guy on the other side of the ring is going to be your champion. Like, you know, it's not hard.
Another small note, do you think it was weird to put Kalisto and Ryback together right after Kalisto had that big upset? Don't you think that Ryback would kind of, you know...
They kind of played it off on TV like, you know, hey, you got me there, ha ha ha, we're both baby faces.
I don't know. Steve, do you have any other comments on this match? Because I was just going to roll into the next one.
As far as this goes, I was just... This one was kind of like a glaze over match for me. Like I saw it happening and I was just like, well, this is happening now, I guess. So.
Yeah, it was more interesting than the match that followed.
Yeah, the match that follows went about 14 minutes and 15 seconds too long. That's exactly how long it went. Charlotte versus Paige. That one had more awkward tension than you could shake a stick at. You could cut with a knife. I've never seen a crowd just. It wasn't even like they were interested. They just wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into the whole promo from last week because I definitely think that had something to do with the reason why the crowd was so dead for
all
this.
To do with,
I think a lot of people were turned off, rightfully so, after the promo last week. And I really hope, because it technically was a clean finish, regardless of what they say on Raw. I really hope that this is the last time that we see this match and this feud, because I really don't want to have to keep, you know, thinking about what they did wrong.
Steve, I'm going to give you a minute to talk, but before we get into that, I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm not against the rivalry. As a matter of fact, if like a year down the road they want to fire this thing back up and never mention what happened before, I could see them doing that.
That's a year down the road. Like it looks like they're going right back to it, though.
It's unfortunate. Steve, again, the crowd reaction definitely got me on this match.
Atlanta was dead. Atlanta was completely dead for this match. I mean, to be honest, the whole pay-per-view, they weren't the best crowd, but during this match, it particularly showed, and for good reason. That match was just very, like, there was no fluidity with their movements, all the moves, all their spots. Everything was just clunky and very, very It's very hard to watch, to be completely honest.
And it was too long.
It was way, way, way too long.
I felt like the time for this match should have been the time for the next match, which was Breeze and Ziggler. I wish Breeze and Ziggler went on a little bit longer, and the buildup for it really wasn't there for it to be any longer than 7 minutes. But
yeah, I mean, it did what it was supposed to do, and that was make Breeze look good. I was more surprised that he was using the Unprettier as his finisher.
I was going to say something about that, Sean. The fact that he changed from the Beauty Shot to the Unprettier of all things, that really caught me off guard. That's a move that you don't see that much, actually.
Well, that's obviously because, you know, Christian's retired. Whether he wants to admit it or not, I was a little taken back. I figured, you know, he would still be using the Beauty Shot. I mean, granted, I think it's good for someone to have multiple finishers. Like the one knock, you can knock Sheamus all you want, but he does have multiple finishes that you can go to, and I think that was a good thing that they did with his character. Now that's just one good thing, but I think giving a character multiple finishes is a step in the right direction, especially if you want to make their matches competitive. And I think that, you know, it's a good little change. It kind of came out of nowhere, but you know, it's a welcome change.
I think, you know, what we're looking at with Breeze is a guy that obviously he's going to, I could see down the road Breeze being in that group of like really top heels. Like again, his character to Vince McMahon, I think we all can agree on this. It's a character that's probably going to be towards the bottom of the card for the first couple of months, but it's good to see that, you know, he gets a good win over Dolph Ziggler, a guy that is in jobber status but gets pop for being a guy that's considered a jobber right now.
Well, he's going to regret saying that he's going away in 2 years, because now they're going to be like, oh, why are we going to push him now if he's just going away in 2 years?
Yeah. And
you guys heard about that, right?
Ziggler was saying he's going to retire in 2 years. I heard that.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of injuries, and I think that at this point, when he stares down his career, the WWE clearly isn't going to do anything with him outside of just putting him in these matches and putting guys over. It's a shame, because Ziggler as a character, he had that kind of, I guess we can kind of like not Shawn Michaels vibe, but it was there. You know, you could see like the heartbreak.
Honestly, I don't think he should have ever re-signed his contract when he did earlier this year. I think he should have just not re-signed. And then did like what AJ Styles is doing, what Del Rio was doing, go on the independents, you know, and you
would he
believe
have,
it or
would
not,
he have made, would he have made more money that way?
That's what my next point was going to be. Believe it or not, they don't make that bad of, you know, of a payday out on the indies, especially if he's working like a New Japan, Ring of Honor, you know, just higher up indie
TNA?
Promotions. No, not TNA. you know, a little higher up, maybe PWG, you know, just like places like that, you can make a good set. Like, just talk to AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. He makes more money than he did at TNA.
Pretty good money, and he's one of those guys that's never going to come back to the WWE. By the way,
come back, Steve, he never was.
Oh, he was in the WWE for one match.
That's a dark match. It doesn't count.
Yeah, he was there. Steve, did you hear where TNA is going to be next year, if you ever wanted to watch it on your TV?
Isn't it like own TV or something strange? I can't exactly.
You're close. Right now they're on Discover. They're on Discover USA or Discover America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They recently got picked up. Surprisingly, someone sees something in TNA. They got picked up on the Pop Network.
Pop. Okay.
Pop. Yeah. I dug through my channel guide. I did not see that there. So
I was about to say, I was like that.
apparently, it's in more homes than Destination America, but the difference is the ratings just aren't there.
And never will be. All right, we're moved to the final, kind of the match that was actually one of the reasons to actually watch this pay-per-view, aside from the most predictable tournament ever, which was the Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family, a match that didn't have any heat, but it's The Undertaker.
No, they blew off the heat already, and that was the whole problem.
They broke one of my cardinal rules. Steve, we've talked about wrestling a lot. One of my cardinal rules to every story is I don't like to see two guys fight before the pay-per-view. I don't like to see it. When you start a rivalry, you have to give me a reason to watch this fight and not show it on basic TV.
Yeah, and it's like I said last night, if you're going to do it, and I'm not saying that you should do it, but if you're going to do it, at least give the heel the upper advantage, because if you give it to the babyface, all the heat is gone.
So going into this, Steve, you know, I want to get your take on this. They blow the heat. Outside of seeing The Undertaker, was there any incentive to see this match?
I'm a little biased here because the Brother of Destruction are my favorite tag team of all time. But even that being said, I completely agree with the heat being blown, because to see the Brothers of Destruction come back on Raw and just completely decimate the entire Wyatt family, one of them. Yeah, they obliterated all of them.
Yeah, why are we doing a standard tag? Like, if anything, the Wyatts need more people.
If anything, I would have liked to see the Brothers of Destruction come back on that Raw, which I marked out tremendously for, by the way. But I would have rather seen them come back, rush the ring, and the Wyatts, you know, slink away into the darkness and keep that keep the heat and the mystique there. Because with them grabbing the Wyatts and just obliterating them, it proved that, like, okay, well, the Brothers of Destruction can just take out all four of them. So we know how this match is going to go now.
I feel like this pay-per-view had a lot of matches that was like, you know, what could have been if the stories were written better. Like, you know, we'll go back to the match we just talked about, Breeze versus Ziggler. Ziggler had the tournament match. Breeze could have came out and screwed him and given us a reason to see this match aside from just playing it out on Twitter. On Twitter, it was kind of stupid to just, you know. I think Sean, you even hit on it when we were watching Raw together one night. The Brothers of Destruction, this could have been a cool Survivor Series match if you put in, and Sean, you had a really good idea to put the Dudleys involved in this match.
No, they don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore. But, there's no reason for just two Wyatts, especially...
Go ahead.
Especially the two Wyatts that did end up competing in this match with Bray and Luke. There was no reason for the Wyatts just to, you know, bring out four...
I'm fairly certain that they didn't do a Survivor Series match just because they didn't want to pin Strowman or Bray. They were like, well, how do we get them to, like, we could probably have one of them counted out, more probably Strowman, but like, how do we get two of them out of there in a Survivor Series match? So they basically just went, okay, we'll just make it a tag then. And that's what they did. And, you know, they took out Rowan, I think it was, at the beginning. I don't know where he went. He just vanished after he got chokeslammed.
Probably to the same place Coulter was.
He got double chokeslammed, and if you listen carefully on commentary, JBL says, he goes, oh, Rowan's walking out, he's leaving, he's gone. Like, it was just a quick, like, thing in passing.
Well, they probably should have shown that, because I didn't catch that.
Yeah, no, I managed to catch that just for some reason. It was just,
I thought the Strowman through the table was a good spot. I mean, obviously everything in the last 2 minutes was a good spot.
Yeah.
But all of this could have still, and you said it, Sean, all this could have still been in a Survivor Series tag match, because if there's a match that deserves to kind of have that esteem, it's this match. But you know what?
All this was very, and I've used it already, it was very harmless, because the whole point is we're celebrating Undertaker's 25 years, and, you know, he gets to wrestle on his 25th anniversary as the character. It didn't really matter exactly what you did. People were going to cheer regardless, because even though that we knew Taker was going to win, it didn't matter. We were just celebrating the character and himself going on for 25 years. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but it could have been handled a little bit better.
I think you're right. Now let's move to the final match on the card. Well, technically the final match on the card. Reigns and Ambrose, the brotherly fight for the World Heavyweight title. This to me was almost a borderline snoozer, because it was so fast. It was pretty fast. I guess they were trying to play it off as these guys had matches early in the card. I was kind of confused as to why Dean Ambrose wouldn't just take the rest of his shirt off.
You got bothered by that, didn't you?
It was just like, dude, your shirt's ripped. Just take it out, come out, you know.
You must really not like Jeff Hardy then.
He's the lunatic fringe, man. You know, he wants to replace Michael Cole with a fish tank and turn the ring upside down and put the Titantron sideways because he's lunatic fringe.
That whole have breakfast for dinner, yeah.
That whole promo, I was crying. I was laughing hard, especially like to replace Michael Cole of all things with a fish tank.
Was it replace him with a fish tank or put him in a fish tank?
No, replace him.
They wanted to replace him with a fish tank.
But let's not gloss over the fact that this match was only 9 minutes long. Like they did not go long at all, especially for a main event for a world championship.
Combining the two things that happened, it was only 9.5 minutes long. So like again,
how do you go, and hear me out here, how do you go back to a rematch, let's say in the future Roman Reigns has the title and Ambrose is chasing after Roman Reigns for the title and they have a match? How do you realistically play off that
the last match was even 10 minutes
their
long.
Next match is even a competition because he beat him clean in 9 minutes.
I didn't. Yeah, Steve, I'll give you a second to talk about this. I didn't like the fact that he beats him clean. He beats him as he was kind of playing a heel during the match. Like he was doing kind of
early on.
Things.
He was. Yeah.
I didn't like the fact you beat him clean as a face, which is kind of like the ultimate bury to a guy. Like, again, Ambrose is over enough where this isn't going to bug him or this is going to hurt his character. But to like the smart fan, they're going to look at this match and go, what could have saved it was Reigns as a heel. What really could have saved this whole tournament was if Reigns made a heel turn. Because, and we've been talking about it, what Reigns needs more than anything in the entire world right now, if he ever wants to have any inkling of getting over, it's being a heel. I think you can agree with that. Yeah,
I completely agree with Roman needed to be a heel. I was really hoping for the Stone Cold Rock spot there. I was hoping that like during the match, Triple H would kind of come and watch from the outside and maybe slide like Roman a chair or something, and you know, Roman hit him with a chair, and then like, you know, Superman punched a spear or running hug, and then you know, Triple H's hand. I would have been very okay with that. I would have been very glad to see Roman turn that way or in some variation of that. But just the way they did it was, like you guys said, so fast, and you know, they were trying to show like all the intensity because they're brothers. They fight harder because they know each other. Just like,
again, like this was one of those matches where the writing could have been, again, all these matches, the writing could have been better. The writing's atrocious, but the build up to it was, oh, Roman Reigns, obviously the entire time Roman Reigns has been the guy, the organization, the WWE, the top of the WWE looks at and goes, this is our next guy. And Dean Ambrose is like, we would never want him to be the title holder. Even going back to his match with Rollins when he wins and they go and beg for the rule or whatever, the rule that he broke. Again, this could have been an opportunity to show the crumbling of their friendship, to show Roman Reigns, obviously he's starting to side more with Triple H, and then Dean Ambrose is kind of like that wild card where Reigns is like, I'm thinking about my friend or I'm thinking about my career and taking care of my family. They could have done that and actually had build up to this match, and we go, oh, this match is interesting.
I think the problem is that they needed to create a top heel because – you know, Sheamus is not he's not a top heel. He's not even number two or three. Like he's barely even four. And they could have created a top heel either with a heel turn or something. Just not using Sheamus, which is one of the worst ideas that they could have done. And we'll get to in a second why I think that they did it. But you figure Roman Reigns as a babyface champion, who does he have to face? Like, what heels are out there for him to face?
No one. You're right. No, absolutely no one. I mean,
now as a heel, as Roman Reigns as a heel against you know, against everyone else aligned with the authority, he's got mm-hmm. Ambrose. He can do. They can go to Lesnar when he comes back. They can go when Rollins comes back. They could go to him too as a babyface. Mm-hmm.
Look at all the guys.
Cena's an option. Like, there's plenty of options if you want to make him your top heel and then bring in baby faces for him to face.
You look at all the guys, the long list of guys. And again, I kind of wrote a story out for this time thing because I was so passionate about finding this could be an opportunity for the WWE to take a step in the right direction. Turn Reigns heel before the tournament, so that way you have the entire tournament to build heat. Okay.
No, I would have rather had him just coast through the tournament, kind of like what The Rock did in the Deadly Games tournament, but have it, and you know, it's basically the same scenario, and then have him join along, but the whole time you think that he's just getting these lucky wins.
I think because here's the thing about the whole Reigns turning heel that you have to do. First things first is that if you're going to turn him heel, he needs to be heel, and he needs to get wins over people guys like, which is why I would have first round him versus Dolph Ziggler. Second off, which by the way, did everyone catch JBL or King kept calling Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, you've said it like 10 times now.
I was funny as heck.
I heard that. It's funny.
Have him beat Dolph Ziggler, a guy the crowd likes. Then have him beat Cesaro, another guy the crowd likes. Then have him beat you know, Alberto Del Rio, who's over with the crowd enough to where if he loses, the crowd goes, all right, I think we've had enough with him just constantly getting these wins. you know, he's a heel. And then, you know, have someone there kind of at his side, either a Big Show type or maybe even, I don't know, you enlist the help of another heel, you're a heel guy you want to put, like King Barrett. A guy like that, put him next to Roman Reigns. The entire time, he just, you know, whenever Roman Reigns needs help, comes out, does what he needs to do. And Roman Reigns keeps getting over until the championship, where you have Ambrose versus Reigns. Ambrose is kind of like, dude, why are you doing this to me? Reigns wins. There's no need to have the Sheamus cash in, so you can hold the Sheamus cash in again for after WrestleMania when we have John Cena obviously hold the title. That would be the best. That would be the best run for me.
Well, that's nice.
That would have been the best thing, because the whole thing about turning Reigns heel is that we need to see this get heat. But again, I think so. Roman Reigns wins to the most no reaction I've ever seen a crowd give a title holder.
There was a little Sheamus reaction. There just wasn't that much. A little.
Sheamus comes out, defeats Roman Reigns. Now Sheamus is the WWE World
Heavyweight. Well, hold on. You missed the fact that Triple H came out.
Well, Triple H came out.
This is a very important part, especially if they go for it for WrestleMania. Triple H comes out and he tries to shake his hand, and Roman Reigns wants none of it. And he just comes back and spears him. And then as soon as he comes out of the spear, Sheamus is right behind him and then gives him the brogue kick.
Gives him two brogue kicks.
Well, he gives him the one, and then he cashes in, and then he kicks out of the first one, and then he gives him the second.
Again, it's kind of unbelievable that Reigns is this tough, but I don't know. Steve, I kind of thought this was not the best way to end the show. But it wasn't awful. Like, again, if Reigns held, I would have thought that would have been the worst.
Oh, I completely agree. At first, when it first started happening, you know, all the confetti started to come out, I got a little nervous. I was like, I really do not want Reigns to keep this.
But there was a lot of time left, though.
Yeah, well, that was what I noticed. I was like, we have like 20 minutes. Something's got to happen. And then Triple H's music hit, and I was like, now things will get interesting. The thing about me personally is I'm the very big minority here. But I like Sheamus. Well, I want to like Sheamus. I like the cool, big, badass Celtic warrior heel thing. Just feel like his character's been taken the complete wrong direction and just not been
used.
Yeah,
a little bit too goofy.
Yeah, he's been too goofy, and like he's not like the serious. Like when you call a guy the Celtic warrior, and like you know he comes in with a big explosion and like just look, and he's supposed to look cool. They treat him like it's a joke kind of gimmick. Like he's almost
look at how he's been coming out. Like he, like in the Survivor Series match, tag match, he came out like literally grasping at his briefcase, like he was scared. Like
I know, and he was like dancing around to the New Day's music, and then he had that goofy line, which made me laugh. It was funny, but still, it was just like he shouldn't be doing stuff like this. Like back when Kane was in his prime time, like monster heel, you didn't see him like dancing around doing stupid shit. Like that,
there wasn't a lot of comedy there. Like, sure, maybe if there was like an annoying heel or annoying maybe face that ran out, ergo, I'll compare a guy like maybe like a Chavo Guerrero runs out and does something funky and he choke slams him. That's a laugh, but you kind of go, okay, but he's still badass.
I
know Benny's not going to get this reference, but I think you will, Steve. I don't think Sheamus has been the same since he ran away from the Nexus. I think I'm dead serious. True. He has not been the same.
It's completely. I remember that when he was talking all the smack and the Nexus came and he took off. I do remember that. He just like he's like if you look at him, he's a big freaking jacked up dude. Like he's a gnarly human being. He should be able to sell that warrior character, because I think he has that. I mean, the mohawk and beard is a little extreme. I like the mohawk. The beard could go, but I feel like he has that look. Like he could be cool, but
yeah, keep the nose ring. I think a lot of people are starting to have a little bit of an issue with the pale skin. I don't really mind it that much.
I mean,
the mohawk and beard have to go. The mohawk, I think, has to go. It's way too goofy.
Yeah, I mean, like with the whole warrior gimmick thing, there weren't too many warriors that had mohawks. The beard I could live with. If he had long hair and a beard, that's like okay. Now you look like a Viking, but
I think he might look weird with long hair though.
Yeah, it's so red.
I don't think there's any way that he can't look weird.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I mean they can work. Like again, I think it's weird because when he comes out, he has that you're kind of right the badass look to him, but I think that. when we see him when he's not like in his usual attire, it's like he's a hipster almost. Like he'll come out in like some rolled up sleeve T-shirt.
Yeah, and he comes out with the patty hat on. Yeah,
a patty hat on. I'm like, okay, is his character Irish or Irish warrior? Because there's a difference. I mean, like maybe some people they go, oh, he's Irish. You know, he has an Irish look to him. And but no, if there's an Irish warrior who's a little bit tougher than just a regular Irishman.
Yeah, I just like I said before, I really feel like this character could have been really cool. Bad monster heel, like a bad dude, and he just
kind of like the guy who sent Mark Cuban through a table.
Yeah, like exactly,
like that guy.
And also like to kind of veer off a little bit, but not too much. Another thing that kind of ruined this gimmick for me was the fact that like he claimed he was this big badass warrior, but he went after small dudes. Like, yeah, I mean it's a heel thing to do, but. Maybe if they didn't focus on that, like maybe if he just did it to do it, like maybe if he just took out Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler without making this big deal, like I'm going after the small guys, fella, like, you know.
Well, the one thing that I can't stand nowadays about heels is it seems like most of them are, and I'll try to bring this out cleanly, but they're chickeness, you know, they're chickeness heels.
Oh yeah, no, completely. They're all runaway chickens.
And I feel like it's better. You don't have to do it like that. You just have to have them cheat like that. As long as that's the point is just you have them cheat to win. It's like they have the ability to win.
They're all chickens. They're all authority lined.
They choose to cheat because they want to take the easy way out. Or they're not good enough to beat the babyface, but they're still really good.
This is all relative to how poor the writing has been. And I think a lot, again, we're going to hit on this many times. Their roster issues are relative to John Cena. Because, again, anytime there's anyone on that roster that gets a push, we always think. When we saw Seth Rollins, you know, in the middle of the ring, we heard John Cena's whoop-a-doo. Everyone thought the same thing. Oh, no, here it comes.
So
here comes the golden shovel.
So one of the things that I've heard over the last 24 hours is the reason why they did this was because they feel as if putting the title on Sheamus is basically a tool to have the crowd cheer for Roman Reigns, meaning
it's not.
People are going to be so upset and so angry that Sheamus has the title that we're going to be forced to cheer.
This is why I called the whole thing. Hold on.
Okay. And the fact is, everyone else that you had in that situation, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, pretty much anyone else that you could put in that situation, they're going to get cheered by I don't want to say the smart marks, but they're going to be cheered by the crowd, by at least by, you know, some majority, whether they're a babyface or a heel. Everyone could care less about Sheamus, and it's basically, you know, we're supposed to now like Roman Reigns because we hate Sheamus. It's kind of like the lesser of two evils.
But here's the thing about that is that I don't hate – like Sheamus – like the character of Sheamus has given me nothing to hate. Like sure, is it goofy? Yeah, sure, it's goofy. But it's kind of refreshing to see a goofy guy that obviously isn't getting a push get the title because like – It's not evident that he's never really been seen as an authority figure. He's just kind of a goofy heel that occasionally will fight alongside of authority guys. I've never like up until the whole Triple H shaking his hand thing, he wasn't really authority aligned. He was just a heel.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's so, because we're so against Sheamus like having the title that their logic and from what I've heard, this is exactly what happened. They feel that this will finally get the crowd to be over with Reigns.
Nope.
And will accept him now because he has to face against some guy that we just can't stand and want to go away.
I agree with Sean. It's almost like they're putting on a title. They're putting the title on someone that is so absolutely hated by the WWE universe. Like both like
and we're not talking like we're not talking heel heat. We're talking white heat.
No, white heat, like, as in, we don't like your character, it's stupid, like, why are we having to be forced to look at you kind of heat?
But, as really kind of dumb as Sheamus looks, it hasn't bothered that many people.
But
yeah, they kind of change. You look stupid just because it's like, you know, it's fun to do, and he gets all bent out of shape.
Okay, goofy, the goofy look.
But it's more so the fact that, you know, he's been an irrelevant character for so long, and you know, if you're going to be the champion, you should at least have some credibility to you. And right now, realistically, right now at this very moment, is he one of the worst champions in recent memory?
Nope.
Like, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, he's not the best, but I wouldn't say he's one of the worst.
Well, who would you say was worse, a worse decision to put the title on, other than maybe Jack Swagger? Because right now he's in Jack Swagger territory.
The Miz.
But at least they tried. They built the Miz up.
The thing was, the Miz played a good heel.
They built him up for a year, though.
They did, but the Miz had a good build. I'll give him that. I just can't stand the guy, but yeah, he had a good build.
I think we can go back and take a look at some of these guys that have done this. You could say maybe like Randy Orton at this point. Whenever he gets it, it's kind of awkward.
No. I mean, he's a star. You know, I wouldn't put him in that category. It's mainly a guy who's so cold, and then they put the title on him for practically no reason. And the last guy that comes to mind is Jack Swagger when he cashed in his Money in the Bank and won.
Yeah, it's kind of hard pressed to find someone like, you know, as cold as Jack Swagger was. I'm digging through here. I'm not seeing
you're
anyone
not,
that bothers.
Yeah, I'm, you're
that
not
bothers
bother.
That bothers me as much as that. Maybe Sheamus's first run. Batista coming back was kind of a weird, but he never had the title. He was just in a title match. But again, we're looking at mostly John Cena, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk in there.
Yeah, but
there's no one to this level. In relation to, you know, I would say Sheamus is probably, you know, top five worst, but I wouldn't even, like, again, it's like, you know, you got Jack Swagger in like 50 feet of dirt and the rest of the list.
Okay, so yeah. Overall, what would we give this pay-per-view?
I'll let you start, Steve.
I would have to say a solid, like, if we're going to do out of like a scale out of like 1 to 5, like 5 being the best and 1 obviously being terrible, I would say 2.5, maybe a 3. I didn't absolutely hate it, but there was nothing really special about it. It was just like a run-of-the-mill average kind of pay-per-view for me, so 3 out of 5.
Sean, you can go.
I hate doing fives because it's so definitive. I'd prefer to go to out of 10. And if that was the case, I'd go 4 out of 10. Mainly,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, mainly for Taker and, the first, semifinal matches were, not that bad. So,
I like doing letter grades. If I had to give it a number, I'd say 3.5 out of 10, letter grades a D-. They're like the watchable matches on this would have been obviously Taker and Kane, Breeze and Ziggler, and then Ambrose and Owens. That was a fun match to watch. The rest of it was just kind of mushy. There wasn't a lot of fun to watch. There wasn't a lot of need to watch it. Again, the knock on the Brothers of Destruction match, and you know, you can call me what you want for saying this. I'm kind of getting sick and tired of them. Here's the Undertaker. Here, give us a story as to why the Undertaker's invested in this match. And they blew the heat for it, so Undertaker really had no, outside of just pounding down heels, he really, at this point it was like there was no point for
this
match.
Feud really didn't have a story other than just Bray beat him up and he went missing. Well, you never found out where he went, but they never said where he went.
If you want to dig deep enough, it's I'm the new face of fear, which is ironic because they did that already, but and they don't reference it at all.
That's the problem. They did this feud already.
D-, but it's not for the ending of the show, and it's not for the three matches I listed. It's because of Reigns technically won 2 matches on this card. The Divas match was terrible. Not really nothing else had a purpose. So that's my final grade is 3.5 D-.
If I could ask you both one thing, if you had one like standout moment from the entire pay-per-view, what would it be?
Goldust.
Goldust, yeah. Goldust was big for me.
He's going to say Goldust. I'm going to say either how good Kevin Owens looked or Tyler Breeze getting a victory. That was about
it. What's that, Benny? I heard Goldust. Good. We're all in agreement.
For me personally, my one stand-up moment where I felt a little like, you know, I felt the little kid energy come back into me again, The entrance they did for Taker with that open casket with all of his different personas flashing, I really, really like that. That might have been one of my my favorite Taker entrances. He's got one of those entrances that, I mean, it's said by a lot of people, but I'm inclined to agree.
It's iconic.
It's such an iconic, almost awe-inspiring, just like goosebumps giving, like you hear that gong and the funeral dirge starts and he walks out slow in the big jacket and the hat, and he just the feeling you get is it's indescribable. And like we've had the gift to have him around for as long as we have, and he just hasn't stopped. We lost Stone Cold, you know, he got old with injuries. We lost Shawn Michaels, even Triple H had to hang it up. Like all the old guard left, but you know, the one final standing guy is Undertaker. So from me to him, just props to him for lasting as long as he has and being as successful as he has. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Last point. I thought it was a little interesting or a little weird that giant casket was up there. And at first he didn't know what it was there for because they weren't playing anything on it. And I was like, what the hell is that thing doing up there? And then they finally showed the pictures of him throughout the years. And I was like, oh, they should have like been showing that the whole time. Why did we have to wait to bring the images up there?
That is true. At first, I thought he was going to, like, walk out of it. I was like,
yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, that's a big casket for him to walk out of.
I thought I was going to fall down, just crush the Undertaker. We're all going to be like, oh, God. And then it's just
Taker's broken in half.
Jim Ross is going to, like, run out and go, by God, he's broken in half. And that would just end the show.
He's dead now. That's the end of the 25 years. He still has a damn casket.
It's me, Taker.
It was me all along.
Like a built-up to Rania where Taker's trying to figure out who crushed him.
All right, let's real quickly look forward to next month or
tables, ladders, and chairs. Something we're gonna, you know, with all our schedules lining up, preview next time instead of do a review. Tables, ladders, and chairs.
They already announced the main event.
Yep, it's already been announced. Sheamus and Roman Reigns in a tables, ladders, and chairs match,
which is expected.
Again, this is a spot where I would have put Dean Ambrose because. There's three guys on this roster, three I guess you could say teams or characters on this roster. Then when I think tables, ladders, and chairs, I think of these guys: the Dudleys, Dean Ambrose.
Who are the Dudleys? I haven't seen them in a while.
The Dudleys, Dean Ambrose, and I would say Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens, just, you know, seeing Kevin Owens use a table to send a guy through,
honestly,
makes sense to me.
Honestly, I think we're getting Ambrose and Owens again, and I think it's going to be a ladder match for the title,
which I want to say.
I think that's what we're going to get. I mean, they haven't announced it. That's what I assume is going to, because they have to do TLC and then table and then ladder and then a chair match. So
more than likely, we're going to get for the tag.
What else are they going to do for other than maybe for the tag titles? What else are they going to put in a ladder match? They're not going to put the Divas in a ladder match.
Nah, I think a tables match between the Dudleys and Wyatts would be cool. Maybe, you know, the Reigns Sheamus thing. I don't really care. Ambrose, Owens, and then Del Rio. I don't really know who Del Rio's opponent's going to be, you know, because
honestly, no. It's going to be Cena.
I'm saying it right now, Jack Swagger.
Oh, stop it!
They're gonna build on this. Wait, it's going to be a sleeper.
I thought Cena was already being advertised for this show.
They're not going to build it up till after the match.
The most recent show he's being advertised for is a live event. December 26th.
Yeah, but I thought I heard something that he was being... I mean, I could be wrong, but... And also, it's in Boston.
Maybe,
that is true.
Maybe the time you do Cena Del Rio is at the Rumble? Maybe?
Time is now, Benny.
And you know, you could even... if you want to do that match, if you want to do Del Rio and Cena, you could throw the chair stipulation in there if you wanted to, just to throw that out there.
I see where you're going, Sean.
If you're going to do the tables one, why don't they do like one of those old school tag team table elimination matches where you get like four tag teams
the
in there?
The Dudleys and Wyatts. It makes sense.
You know, you put in Rowan and Harper, you put in the Dudleys, you put in the Usos, and you put in the New Day, and you have four team table. Remember, like I think it was the year 2000, the Dudleys had a tag team table invitational match where
I do remember that, Sean. I remember that.
It was a gauntlet match, but with but a tables match.
Yeah, yeah. Every team that got put through a table was eliminated. It was like an elimination tag almost.
Yeah, I would be interested in seeing that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Again, there's a lot of possibilities. Again, after the last show, there's nowhere for them to go but up. But we'll see. They've done weirder stuff before.
They might be doing Charlotte and Paige again, which hopefully not.
They're playing a dangerous game of how far can they bury the rest of this roster. And if they just keep if there's more than one match on this, two matches on this card that are redos, I'm going to be really disappointed, because Ambrose Owens would be fun to watch, especially with the weapons and involvement. And of course, obviously they're going to do Sheamus and Reigns. There's no need for Charlotte and Paige.
I think there's a chance that we might also get Breeze and Ziggler again too.
No, don't think there's a reason for us to do that, because the buildup for it has been so spectacular that I think we just have to leave it.
Unless in the next few weeks the Breeze Ziggler feud gets a new revamping and stuff, I don't see it happening again. Because I mean, with the barely build they had, with the barely what you could barely call a build for a Survivor Series they had.
The only match I can see them doing with Breeze would be a mixed tag, because they want to do a mixed tag and get Summer Rae involved.
I don't think Lana's ready yet.
Lana
was supposed to return tonight.
Was she?
She was slated to return tonight, unless they're keeping her for the very, very end, which I don't think, but...
Again, if you bring Lana back and she's with Ziggler the entire time, the crowd's going to go, but you're with Rusev, and it's going to be confusing.
Yeah, they might drop that whole thing now that you mention it.
Are you going to turn Rusev face? I don't know. He's a really good heel.
No, he's not.
No, he's staying heel, considering at the beginning of the show he super kicked Roman in the face.
Yeah.
The WWE, there's a lot of issues there. But anyway, that has been it for, I guess you could say, Blah Blah Sports WWE edition. Next week, we'll come back with our usual me and Sean talking about sports. But Steve, thank you very much for joining us on the show. Do you want to plug your Twitter real quick?
Thank you very much, guys, for having me. I always enjoy talking about wrestling with you, too. My Twitter is Saiyan Barbarian, S-A-I-Y-A-N Barbarian. And you guys can follow me there, and love to see you there. And once again, guys, thanks for having me.
Hey, you're the best, man. We always love talking WWE to you as well. Sean, tomorrow we have the Blah Blah Podcast going. Well, I guess you could say we'll have the Blah Blah Podcast dropping later.
Well, technically, you're listening to this on Tuesday, so by tomorrow standards, you will be hearing the new Blah Blah Podcast episode.
Woo!
It's going to be a very special episode. It's the Thanksgiving edition of Blah Blah Podcast.
And Thanksgiving, with all the food that's involved in Thanksgiving, maybe we see the return.
I think there's going to be a special guest on this week. I don't want to give any spoilers. No spoilers, Benny.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
No
either.
Spoilers. Benny actually Benny spoiled NXT for me, and I'm very pissed at him. catch the new episode this week with a special guest who I will not spoil.
That's Sean for you. You can find him at the Brack Show or at the _ Brack Show.
Yeah, the _.
At the _ Brack Show. And you can find me at the BNP Express. Woo woo! Have a good night, everyone.
Oh, hell yeah!